This is the Don and Mike Show.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in
Iraq? Good question. That's a good question. Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
The Don and Mike Show.
What was that, Larry? What were you saying, Larry? Seem to have lost your place there, Larry.
It's pimple popping time, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Damn straight. Hi. I guess tonight. You ever realize that on Larry King's TV show, an average audience of a night worth of viewing is like a million people?
Yeah, I mean, it's people don't talk about that. Just like when he was on with his radio show, he's on in the middle of the night, and he didn't have that many listeners.
Right.
But, I mean, a million people as far as having TV on CNN
right.
at 9 o'clock. I mean, you could run a test pattern, and you would get a million people.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, the hit shows do, what, 20, 30 million people?
Right. I mean, the real hit shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I read that chart that comes out of the newspaper on Wednesdays.
Right.
When you look at a show like, Charmed on the WB.
Okay. How many people does that do?
It gets about 2 million viewers when it's on.
And under Charmed, it would be test pattern city, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Think about that. Twice as many people watch Charmed.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an even better one. Last week's rating for Reba.
Reba still on the air?
2.8 million viewers.
Wow, nearly three.
So 1.8 million more viewers than Larry has.
That's right.
Wow. Hi. Here we are. Yet he is considered somewhat of an icon.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hi. I've got my suspenders.
Hey, Larry.
Have I told you you're my favorite?
Getting beaten by Reba.
That's disturbing.
Reba McEntire.
Reba.
Although I guess pretty much anybody can get a show on cable.
Mm-hmm.
What did I read about? Well, there was the one time, the Dennis Miller show, when he did his I Love Bush show.
Right.
It actually got, and not like a comedy show, like he loves Bush. Mm-hmm. It was like, really, he loves George Bush. They actually got zero. Like in the Nielsen ratings.
No one's watching.
It did not show up in the ratings.
Well, the problem is, and the way I've read it, is that there are too many of them. There are too many of these shows. It's too widely dispersed. And so you have some of the stuff that falls to the bottom. And then you get people like Larry, who I think probably is a master at self-promotion. And so he, you know, he survives through all this.
I do a lot of sucking.
I remember when I was with Ted Turner on his ranch. Constantly kneading Ted's shoulders.
I suck a lot to get the guests.
That's what I do. Yes, sirree. Thanks to Ross Perot for putting me on the map when I suck.
True.
I'm Larry from the corner.
And you mentioned Larry's radio show, which reminded me about old-time radio, which was, for me, old-time radio was when I first got into radio. I was telling you yesterday, I was talking to a friend of mine. A lot of people since Frida has passed away have gotten back in touch with me, radio guys
right.
that I had fallen out of contact with for whatever reason. So there was one guy who I've been emailing, and he was my program director at the station in Rockford, Illinois, when I was still going to high school during the day and working 10 o'clock at night, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me up, and we're talking, we're emailing, and he says, I was talking about something happening. Oh, I know I mentioned the W-Rock F-Truck. I said, oh, I've talked on the air about how we used to screw chicks in this in the big station vehicle that was the Winnebago that was parked in the barn behind the radio station that had the mobile studio in it. And he said, and I said, the Bobby B. Soda stuff. And he said, do you remember the night you really pissed me off? I have no idea. And here's what I did. Now I'm 15. My shift is 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in Rockford, Illinois. It is about 15 degrees outside. It's the dead of winter. It's 9 o'clock. I got nothing to do. I, at this point, am driving my Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, okay? And I think I've got time to go to the car wash. I'm going to go to the self-serve car wash, even though it's 15 degrees outside, even though it's 9 p.m. at night, even though, you know, it's nighttime, nobody's going to see my car. At this point, I'm still living at home with my parents. The car is not even going in the garage.
You're just killing
the car
time.
Is sitting in the driveway. No, but I had this thing about wanted the car to look good.
Always. You've always been,
you know,
like that.
Because it would be, you know, seriously, 15 degrees, and I would have the windows down so that the chicks could hear, you know, the groovy hits coming out of the car.
He's right.
So I remember standing there, and it was one of those deals where you had, like, the big power washer thing. And
the wand.
And you had the big brush, and you would put in the quarters. They still have these things, the self-serve car washes. And you put the brush, and the foam would come out of the brush, and you would soap up the car. And then you had this high-pressure that you kind of spray it off with.
Right? Still have that fabulous technology today.
Okay. Well, I get out of the car, and because it's freezing, I leave the car running. I don't think there's a problem with this because I'm just, it's no different than putting the car through the car wash.
Right.
Or going in a rainstorm. I mean, so it's running and anyway, I'm soaping it up, la, 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 la. And then it's time to rinse it. Right. And when I rinsed it, what happened was in between the time of the rinsing, putting the rinsing thing back in that big tube that they have, like in
the holster for it.
Yeah, the holster that they have in those little mini garages. What had happened was everything had frozen solid.
Mm-hmm. 15, sure.
I could not get into my car.
Locks froze.
Which was running.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that you know you might say, well, hey, "Come on, you dumbass! Why didn't you just pound?" Trust me, I was there for 5 minutes, like a moron with my hand like this, going, you know, trying desperately. Pulling on the door, falling down on the ice. Again, 1975, before cell phones.
Right.
So what I got to do is go walk across the street, get out a quarter, call the station.
You're supposed to be on the air in less than an hour?
Yeah, it's 9:30. So I call the station, and I tell Shotgun Mark Rivers, I'm at the, whatever, Mr. Duty Car Wash, and... I'm locked out of my car, and I don't know what to do. And he says, okay, I'll call Carl. I'll call the PD. This is the guy that I was chatting with.
Right.
And I remember calling him and explaining the situation. Now, Rockford, Illinois, still is at that time a small town.
Right.
It's like, you know, the radio station's here. Everybody lived within 10 minutes. He said, what car wash are you at? I said, I'm at the one by whatever, by the Midas.
Right.
He says, okay, I'll be there in a couple of seconds. The guy shows up, he gets there, and he says, let's go, let's get you to the radio station.
Right.
I said, oh, thank God, I'm so sorry. God, I'm so freaking sorry. I'm sorry. And he's like, don't worry about it, don't sweat it. Just get in there and do your show. Now, I am just a kid. I'm 15.
Your car's running, meanwhile.
Yeah, the car is, yes.
Ice shut.
The car is running.
Right.
I leave. I go and do my shift. I walk in the door to the radio station on Tamarack Lane in Rockford, Illinois, literally 2 minutes before 10. I walk in, plug my headphones in, da-da-da-da-da, start the show, boom, boom, boom. The PD says, all right, you guys can work this out. I'm going home now.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, see you later. Uh-huh. Then Shotgun Mark Rivers, the guy that's on before me, he says, all right, well, if everything is cool here, I'm going to leave. And I said, yeah. Whew, I'm just so glad I made it in. I'll see you later.
Meanwhile, it's not getting any warmer, I would assume.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. They've now left. The program director has left.
You're by yourself.
The night guy has left.
How far away is your car?
Well,
like minutes-wise?
10 minutes away.
Okay.
I realize now, as it gets to be about 11 o'clock, now that my nerves are not totally on edge, and I'm just kind of doing the show, and I'm thinking, okay, I didn't get fired. Ooh, thank God. Keep in mind, I've got school tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, I do. I got 8 o'clock classes in the morning. I think, oh, Christ, my car.
And you're driving like on a learner's permit, aren't you?
Yeah, right. No, yes, absolutely. I'm 15. You can drive in Illinois and Wisconsin. You drive when you're 15. I think, My car is still at the car wash.
Right. What if it like heats through and thaws out and somebody's got a brand new Trans Am?
No, that's Mike. That would have been a good thing.
Right.
That would have been a good thing. When I was talking to Carl, he reminded me that he came back to the radio station before the end of my shift. And so I guess I get about 1:50, because I just figured when it got to be like 1:30 in the morning, I would call somebody and say, hey, give me a lift. Or at worst, get a cab. Right. And you say, drive
me. Get a cab over to your car.
To this car wash.
Where it's still frozen.
And running.
Well, no, at 1:15, the light comes on in the studio, meaning somebody's at the front door, right? So you go to the front door, and it's the program director. And I see lights. Police not cop lights.
No?
Not cop lights. Tow truck lights.
Oh.
And it's the program director, and I remember that he is wearing some type of, like, tiger, almost like a Peg Bundy-looking PJ outfit that he's got on underneath his parka. And as it turns out...
like he'd been awakened.
Yes, because this is Rockford, Illinois. We're not talking about the media market of the world.
Right.
What happened was sometime between 9 p.m., and 1 a.m., my car, which was frozen and running, somehow crashed into the side of the wall of this place. Okay?
Wow. At the car wash.
Rolled away.
At the car wash. Now, didn't do major damage because they're like cinder blocks, right? So the only reason that the PD knows about it is that the news director calls him up to say... Oh, my God. Like, the news director was one of these guys. You know these guys in old-time radio buzz. I mean, nothing ever happened.
This is big news in Rockford.
Nothing ever happened in Rockford. So the police scanner went off.
Right.
And, oh, my God, there's been a car, an abandoned car, at the do-it-yourself car wash, and it has run into a wall, and part of the wall has collapsed. So now the news director calls the program director to say, I want to call the station right now, and I want to go on with this breaking news. The program director says to the news guy, before you do that, let me go see what's going on, because I think we don't want to go on the air with the story, because I think it's the ass that's on the radio now. So my program director...
What did you do, leave the car and drive?
They still don't know exactly what happened.
Possibly.
They think what happened is that somebody tried to steal it,
okay,
couldn't get into it, tried to push it out.
Makes sense.
And then because it was icy... When they were pushing, the left front end of the car just kind of did one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So the program director is there, and he has them tow the car back to the radio station.
Is it still running?
No.
Oh, no.
Not anymore.
Oh, my God. It's totally not running.
Right.
And he's pissed because this is small town. And
everybody's going to know.
And look what you've put him through.
Yeah, and his whole thing is, first off, you know, why are you washing your car?
Right.
An hour before you're going to do your show when it's 12 degrees outside. Second, you know, when we did this, how come you didn't figure out a way to send somebody back? Are you grown up or not? You know, and the answer, of course, is no, I'm not grown up. I'm 15. I don't know what's going on. So he's standing outside freezing. Anyway, he reminded me of that.
Could you get in the car after that when they...
No, and the worst part of it is that the program director is yelling at me
right
in front of the radio station while the record is playing, okay?
No.
So I'm coming out during a record, and I'm just getting all of this where he says, hey, you know, listen, you know, what's his name? The morning news guy called. It was on the scanner. I went down there because here's your car. You owe this guy like $70 to tow it. You're going to have to take it up with your insurance about the place. I'm going back home. Good luck. Have a good show. Get back in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in his car and drives away. And I say to the guy in the tow truck, come on inside. So the guy in the tow truck comes inside, and I finish doing the show. And then I realize my car is broken.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that I'm going to be able to drive this car. I don't want to call my mom and dad.
No, right.
I don't want to call them at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
They hate me doing this job anyway.
Right.
To tell them that I've crashed my car when I've left it at a car wash because it's been frozen because I'm an idiot and I'm washing it with a power washer. So I have the tow truck guys, give me a ride home.
Uh-huh.
And I must have lied to my parents for 2 weeks about it. They would say, where's your car? I'd say, I loaned it to, Vinny. You know, or
meanwhile, is it sitting at the radio station?
Yes, because I couldn't afford to get it fixed.
How did you get to the radio station?
Ah, had a friend drive me
every night
for two weeks. Solid weeks.
Wow.
Until I got a paycheck.
Right.
Because as it turns out, and the damage to the car was relatively minor. Mm-hmm. I mean, back then it was like just the fender, but the wheel was screwed up. I didn't need a new wheel. I didn't have money for that. So I would have a friend at school,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would drive me in and drop me off. Right. And then same deal, somebody who would,
and every day the program director came to work and saw your car out there, he was reminded of the incident.
Yes, because the more time went on, I remember him saying to me, like after a week, are you ever going to get that thing fixed?
Because
it was just sitting in the corner, and this was, they thought that the radio station was like a temple. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they treated it, it was for being in Rockford, Illinois,
right.
it was pretty much state of the art.
Right.
And they're proud that they had the van that had the studios.
A different time.
Meanwhile, they got a junker in the front yard with a caved inside.
That's right. So,
and program directors at that level are easily excitable. Yes.
So anyway, what ended up happening was, this was what he had reminded me, and I'm surprised I never mentioned this, probably just because I hate my parents so much. But what he ended up doing was, after 2 weeks, he said to me, listen, are you ever going to get that car out of the parking lot? I don't really care what you do with it. I don't care how you get here, but you have to get the car out of the parking lot. You right. must do this. I said, okay, I promise I'll do it. All I know is that I got home from school that day, and my mom said, the program director called me.
Oh, there you go.
And you don't think I walk into a wall of S. It's like
right.
I got my mom now yelling at me about this. And like, you know, we told you shouldn't get that car and your insurance rates will be through the roof. But no, you had to have it because you're Mr. Rock and Roll DJ. And no, you can't have just a normal job. You have to have a DJ job. And you got in a wreck. When did you get a wreck? How did you get in a wreck? Our insurance. It was.
And you were on your parents' insurance?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. And then for gosh, I don't know. Maybe the next three
black
months.
Trans Am. And was it the black Trans Am with the big, like, eagle on
sure
the front?
Sure was, a big old eagle. Uh-huh. And I think maybe for the next 3 months, which was however long I had to wait to get whatever insurance it was, I actually had to pay a guy from the radio station.
To drive you?
To come and pick me up.
Wow.
I paid him $5 a day.
Was it another guy that worked there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weekend guy.
Pretty good, though, for a weekend guy to pick you up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, he needed a dough. I mean, it was 30 bucks a week.
Absolutely.
Money
30
is bucks
money.
A week. And anyway, Carl reminded me of that, of just another one of the many, many dumb things that I've done. But that's the one that he said got him the most pissed. The most pissed.
In his tiger pajamas.
The most pissed. And he was also the program director that I called. I know I've told you this one before. The first time I ever did a record hop, again, I'm 15 years old, and that's where you would go out as a DJ. Before, like, DJs as we know them today, club DJs,
right.
Regular top 40 DJs would go out with these big, old-time, just gnarly turntables.
Like your usually they came in a suitcase, a big, long suitcase with a turntable on either side and a little mixer in the middle.
And it's like, it would just erode.
You worked with 45s.
It would erode your self-confidence to a point where when you got there, when you're setting this up, you realize that you're lower than like a hobo clown that, you know.
Record hops. Pretty cheesy.
But it was a good way to make 75 bucks.
Everybody right. did it because everybody needed, just like everybody did remote broadcasts at the local hardware store because everybody needed the money.
Or at the Pants Corral. But, yes. but this guy, Carl,
or
was, the guy,
Service Center.
Was the guy that got me my first record hop. Yeah. Now, this, I swear on Frida's life, also, absolutely true. I know I've told it before. Do we have the record Susan by the Buckinghams?
I think we might.
Okay.
Know it well.
I'm doing a record hop for borderline retards. I'm not saying that like the way that we do now on the show.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, okay.
These people are
special.
Quirkies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know exactly what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is obviously why this cherry gig has come to me at the radio station. I'm the last guy to get in on making extra money doing hops.
Right.
Finally, the PD, Carl, says to me, I got one for you. Friday night, Rec Center, Rockford. You pick the stuff up at the station.
Mm-hmm.
You show up. It's 2 hours. Get your 75 bucks. Bring the stuff back. Have a great weekend.
Right. He didn't tell you who your audience was?
No, he didn't tell me. And really, it wasn't a problem.
Right.
Until I played this one record. So, you get there and you set everything up, and you just feel like the biggest piece of dung.
Well, you don't normally, but it depends on your gig, right? I mean, it depends on the gig that you're at. And this is just the first one you ever did?
First one I ever did. You know, and I'm creating the stuff in myself.
Right. It can be a pleasurable experience if you get the right crowd.
No, but I mean,
you still have to carry the stuff, and it's cheesy equipment. And
But
if there's some POAs there, it's a good thing.
But you're talking about, I would do stuff like high school hops and stuff like that.
But this hop sounds like it wasn't exactly
special.
It sounds like hops made an impression on you right from the beginning.
Let's go to the hop. All right, so I get there, and I'm not really sure what to do, and I'm not really good with setting the thing up. But they say, at one point, they come over and say, and I can't figure out why people are saying to me, thank you so much for coming. Thank you. So they all love the station. Everybody, all the kids love the station. And I just think it's a regular thing. And those, finally, someone comes up.
Do you have cart machines or just turntables?
Just turntables.
Right.
When you went out to do a hop. So
you really couldn't identify yourself as the DJ. You just had
you had a microphone.
You had a mic, yeah, but you didn't have any of the stuff. You know, I mean, no. just the record jingles, nothing like that.
Hi, it's me. Hey, how you doing? WRO. Hey, how are we doing tonight?
Thanks for coming out.
And you have that feeling that all record hot DJs have. They really think I'm on the radio.
Oh, God. You know, maybe down in my car. I wish I had the record. God damn it.
How did it go?
Okay. Susan. Here's the thing. I think it might even be in my car.
You send Joe down?
Yeah. I got the wrong car. Never mind. I just have to explain it to you. So,
isn't this what I've heard you say?
Yes.
Is this the one where it had kind of a riff in the song that was really high pitched?
Here's the problem that they tell me about halfway through this that the kids are really enjoying it. Keep up tempo music coming because they're special. So now I'm just soaking this in. I swear to Christ, you. I'm 15. I mean, I don't make, like, retard jokes like I do now. I'm 15.
Right.
You know, to me, a big joke was calling a guy a mo.
Right.
Right?
Right. Don't be a mo.
So it's like, I'm just going, okay. I'm looking at them, and none of them are coming up and asking for requests.
Right.
It's all the parents that are asking for requests, and they're asking for, you know, play the disco songs and everything. So I start thinking I can play anything I want. Right? Because what the hell? So I play this record by the Buckinghams called Susan. As it turns out, it's a very melodic song. Susan, feel like I am losing. I'm losing my mind. About 2 minutes into the record, it stops. The record stops, and the sound that it makes is,
That's on the record.
Yeah, except it's not like me sounding like a pig in heat. It's like it's like the Damien, like watch out, almost like think of the Psycho music.
Yeah.
Do we have that?
Yeah, we do.
Right.
It might as well be that you're going from this goddamn bubblegum pop, this wonderful Susan,
and then it stops,
and then all of a sudden it's
like a psychedelic psycho in the middle of the record.
I mean, I'm not kidding you this time. If we had a copy of the record, I could play it for you.
And it wasn't that well received?
They, I swear to God, all of them, like 50 of them.
They didn't like it.
I got all the parents running over me.
They didn't care for it.
Running over. What are you doing?
Turn it off.
Take that off.
Put the fire hose on the disc jockey.
Take that off.
Jesus. Because you've always talked kind of negatively about record hops. I think that was probably a pretty tough one to cut your teeth on.
The very first one ever. That's a true story.
Still get paid?
Yeah.
Still got the money?
Yeah, in Monopoly money.
Did you correct the problem quickly, or did you was there a part of you, that sadistic part, that wanted to play it again?
No, I was flipped. I was flipped out.
You were scared.
I was flipped out, and I was mentioning that to this guy when I was talking to him last night. We were just talking about all these old time things, and he brought that up as well.
Right.
He said, do you remember when you called me that night? And I said, I don't remember anything.
I've done a terrible thing. Now, they're all on the floor writhing.
He said that I called him and that I vacillated between feeling very guilty and thinking that I had done something awful.
Right.
And being so mad at him that he had me do the record hop for the retarded kids.
Right. Right.
That I was calling. And
did you do any good record hops after that? Or I know you worked at the roller rink for a while. I mean, was that post Roller Rink, right?
That was
Roller Rink was beforehand.
No, Roller Rink was after.
It was after.
After that, it was the Roller Rink.
So yeah. Much easier.
People don't realize, and maybe that's why you feel that way about your son. People don't realize what we in this business go through.
What we went through.
And some of those fabulous gigs that you have early in the day that are so much fun.
Yeah, when you come, you know, not,
gotta come down here and get this fantastic deal.
Nothing makes you feel more like you're in showbiz than when you show up at Bob Dix Ford,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your big brown box, your wooden box, it's got your turntable in it,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, hi, I'm the disc jockey, and I'm here to do the show.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And you get the look from them like, okay, eat one.
Right, this is it. Yeah, you normally, I would say, wouldn't you say, 80% of the time you do a remote broadcast and you have the individual at the dealership, mm-hmm. or wherever you're doing it, that they're not real happy that they're spending all the money they're spending.
Disappointed. It's not what they expect.
The only real happy person usually is the salesperson who's really making the real money.
That's
out
right.
of this whole
deal. And the salesperson never there, always 15 miles away.
Right, exactly.
But they never, a lot of times they don't even know you're showing up.
One of my favorites was, hey, Mike, the guy, and I don't even remember the name of the business, but the guy would really like you to go outside this lawn and garden place and ride around on one of the tractors.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't.
Good for you.
No, I didn't. And it was met with, I don't even know why you're here then.
Right.
It was one of those real good days. I was just going to
dance. Dance.
Yeah,
dance.
Yeah.
One time at an appearance when I told them that we really couldn't do a live remote because we don't do that, they said, well, the owner is disappointed. Can you take my cell phone and pretend to do a phone in?
Everybody's done that. Yeah. I got to do a few of them with Jack Diamond.
Remote broadcast?
Yeah. Yeah, where he was on one end and I was on the other, both ways. Uh-huh. And my very first shift on a radio station I worked at with him, and I hit the wrong button. So I said, let's take it down to Jack Diamond, who's down at the Benson Motor Cars or whatever the hell it is. And it's like, hello. 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 I'm like, Jack, I don't know where you are, Jack. And then I hit the button, and it's like, been here the whole time. I used to hate it. That's why I hated Saturdays. I hated Saturdays. Saturday. Big time.
Oh, God. And just, if you ever want to hear a guy in hell, no matter where you are on a weekend.
They all do them.
If you get out of, the major metropolitan areas,
right.
when you hear the guy on the cell phone, saying, hi, this is Nick at Night, and I'm out here at Norris Ford.
Uh-huh. Right.
And boy, are we excited.
Yeah, let me tell you about some of these specials. We're going to bring in Fuzzy. Fuzzy's going to tell us exactly what he's got on the lot.
You know that this guy is just praying that someone comes and shoots him between the eyes.
He's right. Hating life.
Just pray that some guy drives his car through the plate glass window in the showroom and runs him over.
It should be. They, you know what they should do? And this is what should be done.
What?
You should take the microphones down and let the people that have the business do the whole thing themselves.
Yep.
And I know it wouldn't be that professional,
that would be
but you know what? It would be fun. And it would be something to look forward to because really, and I take this, I'm going way out on an extreme here. There's a guy in Las Vegas that does infomercials on TV. His name is Chopper. And he's a Hispanic guy, and he does the greatest infomercials you will ever see on TV. And he stands, and he's obviously runs the dealership. He's this big fat guy and he's got the Elvis kind of sunglasses, yeah. but they're the sunglasses he would run that he would wear for real. And he gets out and he goes, "My name's Chopper. I'm going to tell you what I got happening right now." And all his little minions that run the car dealership, they drive the cars up. And some of them have genie costumes on, and others have the straw hat with the wheat in their mouth. And they go, "What would you pay?" And they're all standing in back of him and go, "Would you pay $7,500?" They all go, "No! Would you pay $7,000? No! $6,500? No! $6,488? Get it out of here!" And they drive right by him.
Wow.
If you ever get a chance to see this guy, I'm pretty sure it's out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It is
the greatest. And it beats a disc jockey that's down there, having needles put in his thing to say, "You gotta come down here because we've got donuts and coffee while supplies last."
Yeah, it's awful.
Painful. But everybody that does this has to, to do it.
It's awful.
Radio.
It's awful.
It's red hot.
Once I was at the Heck Company in the junior Miss department.
Did you ever have to wear a blazer?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Did not. I had to wear my satin blanket, though.
Mike did?
A WOHN red blazer.
I had to wear my Yeah. A satin jacket.
Yeah, we had to wear blazers. Blazers and a tie. I mean, way back. We had a sales manager that was born in 1812. Fun.
There are things.
But the Heck Company. Junior
Miss Department.
There are things that you remember that you carry with you for your entire life.
Scars?
Yes.
And this was a self-inflicted scar, right, mm-hmm. that I did not want to do this appearance on a Saturday at 12 noon at the Junior Miss Department at the Heck Company. This was in 19...
That's not that long ago then, right?
1980.
It's relatively recent.
This is when
you're talking in that kind
the
of
the last 25 years here in the D.C. area, Route 66 had just opened.
When you're on PGC,
it was a wow. Yeah, it was a brand new road.
Junior Mister, get Geronimo down there.
I am not. I don't know how to.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
The night before. I had a good time.
You partied a little bit?
With a lot of people from the radio station.
All right.
And the morning before, I partied with a lot of people from the radio station.
Oh, my. Prepping yourself for this.
And it was one of those things where I said, I'll catch a couple hours sleep at some point. And I arrived at this appearance. And, of course, there was nobody there.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm at a Junior Miss Department.
Right.
But I come walking in with the sign, and the woman from the Heck Company was very nice.
Yes.
Walked up to me and said, hi. I said something like, you know, I'm Don. I'm here to do the appearance. And I swear to Christ, she said, will you just wait one moment?
Mm-hmm.
She walked away for a second, and she came back, and she said, you know what? I really don't think we're going to need you today.
Really?
I really don't. I think. And
you were a tad disheveled?
And I thought that it was just something had gone wrong with the buy or whatever. I said,
right.
I said, so you want me to do you want me to stay and sign? She said, just go. And now, because I'm stupid, I just got my car, went home, and went to sleep. Monday, I show up at the station. First thing is I go down to the general manager's office, Charles Giddens.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down there, and celebrity he most resembles, Charles Grodin, the bald Charles Grodin.
Okay.
With a little Dabney Coleman in him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a southern accent. Says, excuse me, what the hell did you do at the junior Miss Department at Heck Company on Saturday? Like, sir, I didn't do anything. I showed up to do the appearance, and she told me to leave. You smelled. You smelled of marijuana. You smelled of alcohol.
Wow.
She said your eyes were as red as a red traffic light. Son, have you never heard of Visine? Son, what the hell were you doing, son? And, you know, I'm like, I can't.
You were in the condition where you didn't realize she was blowing you off.
No, and I, you know, he said, and I was, it's not one of the many times in my radio career, you know, where I just sit there and I am just falling apart in front of this guy. I'm like sitting at the desk going, and he said something like, don't tell me you're so stupid that you didn't know why she told you to leave. She told you to leave because you look like a drunk derelict. You show up, did you even bathe? I said, yes, yes, I bathed. She said, you smell.
Wow.
Very true story.
Wow.
Very true story. I had to drive back to the Heck Company the next day.
And apologize?
And I had to apologize to this manager.
Oh, boy.
Wow. That sucked.
That's a painful deal.
That really sucked. But I was there to do it.
And you were on time.
I was. You're goddamn right.
You always are.
Well, I'll have you know that I was cold sober when I did my remote at the, well, we were discussing it yesterday, and I'm not kidding you, when I did my remote at the Pennsylvania Dutch Farmers Market with the Amish people. Come on. Just look for the guy with one beard, no mustache, and a hat.
Okay, well, listen, we could walk down memory lane all day long.
Of course we could.
Goddamn, I do love to.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. If I ever write a book, if I can ever remember all this stuff, boy, that'll be good.
Hey, if you could remember that Hex thing, you can remember anything.
That's another one of the many times I thought I was going to be fired. And again, I, like an idiot, walking to the station at 3 o'clock, Mr. Giddens wants to see you.
What I do?
Right, I'm like, hey.
How you doing?
What's happening?
Probably a promotion.
Right. I'm feeling pretty good.
What I do?
What's happening? People are like, boy?
I'm innocent.
Boy? What is your goddamn problem, boy?
You told him the truth. I didn't want to do it, so I got a little high.
Jesus, leave me alone. Mike, are you ready to laugh?
I certainly am.
I mean, really laugh?
Oh, absolutely.
Not that you've not been belly laughing already and everybody else hasn't been belly laughing already.
I'm actually sore at this stage of the program.
Mm-hmm. I got to watch you with my sore ribs. We're going to go with this. We're going to go with make John Norman laugh.
Now, I've heard rumors he's a tough nut to crack.
Now, John is the guy who's kind of filling part of Beth Ann's job while Rob kind of fills part of Beth Ann's job.
Just the corduroys.
Although, I'll tell you, it's almost impossible to fill Beth Ann.
It is. But he's trying. It really takes two, maybe three or four men
to fill Beth Ann.
Five, roughly.
Get a number for better service. Welcome to the womb. So, John is back there. He's assistant producing. He answers the phones. He's Joe's immediate supervisor.
Right.
He's not allowed yet to comment on American Idol.
Not yet.
He's not allowed to come in with dumb stuff off the internet yet. But he's a good, funny guy, and he's a great valued member of our team.
He is indeed.
For the first time ever, John will be the subject of Make Johnny Laugh.
We really don't know enough about him to know exactly the best way to make him laugh.
We'll
but
find out.
We know there are certain things that make him laugh, but it's up to you.
So, phone number 877-365-3636, as we do with most of our calls. They'll be on screen.
Mm-hmm.
We will put 10 minutes on the clock. And, John, I'll just tell you, as a first-time participant, please don't feel any pressure at all to laugh unless you think something is really funny.
I'll do fine as long as I don't have to see Rob.
I urge our audience that's going to play this game to think human suffering.
See, listen to that.
Already he's laughing. Bingo.
Okay, so your subject is John Norman.
Right.
What you do is call 877-365-3636. We will put 10 minutes on the clock and take on-screen calls until we get someone who can actually make, oh, listen to Joe go to work, actually make John laugh.
Baby Seal walks into a club.
All right, you ready to laugh, John?
I am.
Okay, don't be over ready.
No, I'm not.
But just be regular ready.
Okay.
You know why he didn't laugh that time? Because that was a joke about animal suffering.
Right.
I like animals.
Yeah.
Humans. All right, see you in a minute, John.
All right.
Different.
And just so you get the mental picture in your head, again, celebrity John most resembles Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy.
Absolutely.
Kind of got the, you know, the crazy, nutty, short haircut.
Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy with just a touch of some of those people over in Europe that protest immigrants.
Just a touch.
Just a touch.
Like maybe 25%.
Just a little bit.
Maybe 40%. So
maybe, yeah, that's more accurate.
No, okay.
Mm-hmm.
60-40 your side.
Sure, absolutely.
No more than 60, though.
You see them, they're wearing, like, boots and flags and stuff.
That's
no hair.
Sure.
It's mainly that and very little the Cable Guy. That's John. So call that, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.